Good morning. We welcome you to worship with great love on this Palm Sunday. I see you have your palms and you're ready to wave them. Appropriately, do not poke your neighbor, but give God lots of glory. We're so excited to be gathered together today in worship. We extend a special welcome to all of you who are visiting with us today and musicians who are visiting with us today. We're so glad you're here. We hope you'll fill out a blue card in the pew in front of you and let us know that you're here and how to get in touch with you. We'd love to share with you more about our life together if you'll share your email or address. We'll tell you more about life at St. Giles. We're entering into Holy Week, and it's a wonderful time to invite friends to come and join us and be a part of what we're doing here. And Monday, Thursday, we will be together at Christ Presbyterian Church. Good Friday will be hosted by Community West at Stewart School, and you can find more information about those services at 7 p.m. both evenings in your order of worship. On Easter Sunday next week, you're invited to bring flowers for the flowering of the cross, and if you have extra flowers, bring some to share. Our women's retreat is coming up April 8th through 10th. The registration deadline is March 29th. And the Sunday following Easter, we'll have an opportunity to participate in soaking prayer following worship. And if you're interested in that, I hope you'll come and find me if you would like more information. And please RSVP with Sherry Burgum for the lunch after worship, and then we'll move into a time for soaking prayer. But again, we welcome you, and we are delighted you are here in worship.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels in heaven an answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. And then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross appeared upon a lonely hill, as the shadow of a cross appeared upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. And once again the scene was changed, how earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the sunless sea. The light of God was on the streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon nor stars by night, nor sun to shine.
John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and been done to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
praise you, O God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Let these branches be signs of his victory, and grant that we who carry them may follow him in the way of the cross, that dying and rising with him, we may enter into your kingdom through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Mystery is that the one who is the King of glory is also the King of mercy, and it is to him that we look for forgiveness of our sins. Would you join me now as we pray together? Lord Jesus, you are like no other, ever faithful.
We are like all others, ever faithful.
You are like no other, ever loving God and others.
We are like all others, ever focused on ourselves.
You are like no other, laying down your life for the sins of the world.
We are like all others, living our lives in the sins of the world.
Lord Jesus, you are like no other, the giver of great mercy.
We are like all others, in need of great mercy.
Alleluia. Amen. I would welcome the children to come down front for a moment together. Kiddos, come along. You don't need to bring your palm branches this time. Just come ahead. Here we got one more coming. All right, let's not sit down today. We're actually going to travel a little bit, okay? Come on with me up here. We don't usually have an orchestra with us on Sunday morning, so come stand with me where you can see the instruments here. Can y'all help me out a little bit? What do you think our music would sound like if every instrument were the same? Wouldn't sound very good. If we had, 12 violins or 12 sets of drums or 12 basses, it wouldn't sound the same as it does when we have different instruments all coming together. So would you place a couple of notes on the violin? Let's hear how it sounds. Okay, and this is a viola. And a cello. And a bass. Ooh, I like that one. Yeah. And a clarinet. And a trumpet. And then the drum doesn't make any notes, but it sounds rhythm for us.
Big ones make notes.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that's pitch percussion.
Oh, that's pitch percussion. I'm learning as we go here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we don't usually have an orchestra, and yet in some way we do every Sunday morning because every one of you bring a different voice. And when we sing and when we pray, we have our own sound that we give to God, and God then takes the different sounds and pulls them all together and makes it beautiful, just like these are beautiful when each one different comes together and makes one song. We see that in worship all the time, and today in a special way with instruments. So let's pray and give God thanks. Father, thank you for providing each of us with a voice to praise you, the ability to sing and honor you. And we thank you for these children, and already they're learning to lift their voices in your praise. Thank you for your amazing way of combining gifts and sounds to bring glory to Jesus. And we honor him and pray in his name. Amen. You can go on to sit with your parents or to kids on worship. Thank you. You know, it's easy to let our minds jump during Holy Week from the triumph of Palm Sunday to the triumph of Easter. But as you know, in between the two came the cross of Jesus. And the lifeblood of Jesus spilled there is our lifeblood. And the mystery and goodness of that gift is more than we can fully take in. And so it helps when we consider such good news and such mystery to have the good news lifted with music. Something about that helps it go more deeply into our souls. And so we're grateful that our musicians have prepared and brought in friends who can join with them and telling the good news of Jesus. We're going to begin this telling today with a scripture that we wouldn't usually think of because usually we read it right after Christmas. It features the one person who was there for both the birth and the death of Jesus, and that's his mother Mary. And you may remember the story. Soon after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took the baby to the temple for dedication ceremony, and they were surprised when two old people came in to prophesy over Jesus, Simeon and Anna. And they had a lot of glowing things to say about this amazing baby that Mary and Joseph had and still didn't fully understand who he was. And you can be sure that they were overwhelmed by this and there were undoubtedly tears of joy. But then old Simeon, if you remember the story, after prophesying over Jesus, continues his prophecy with a different tone. And he told Mary that the day would come when her tears would be anything but tears of joy. And this was a prophecy fulfilled on that last day of Jesus' earthly life, as she saw the baby who she witnessed take his first breath, saw him as a man, breathe his last. Here's the passage from Luke 2, beginning at verse 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
Thank you.
Actually, Simeon was not the first prophet to see where the Lord was going with this. Centuries before, the prophet Isaiah foretold it in words that never really made sense until it happened. Then Isaiah's words turned on a light for understanding what happened with Jesus at the cross. And so we read in Isaiah 53, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth." You may have noticed that we Protestants use the symbol of the cross different than our Catholic friends do. Our crosses are typically empty to symbolize that the cross could not hold Jesus. And that's true and to be affirmed. But our Catholic friends typically have Jesus' body there on the cross. And often he is portrayed as already dead. And it's their way of emphasizing that part of what happened there on the cross was that the Messiah died, really died. That the one who breathed life into us, the one who took his first breath as a newborn, as we did, also walked the path we walk to the far end of our earthly lives. And he breathed his last. As we say in the Creed, he was crucified, dead, and buried. And across the centuries, much of the music meditating on the cross has focused upon the mystery of his death. Each gospel tells it. Here's how John told that story. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "To fulfill the scripture, I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw this has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." prophets had foretold the cross. And then the Gospels tell the story of what actually happened. And then the Apostle Paul reflects upon its meaning, bringing to a point the mysteries of God's love and how when Jesus came among us, he stopped not a step short of the cross and how that cross now changes everything about our lives. Here's how Paul summarizes that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Serve.
We thank you for telling the story beautifully for us, and let us thank God. You may be seated. Lord, truly our minds do hop quickly from the Hosanna of Palm Sunday to the Alleluia of Easter. And we thank you that you did not detour around the cross, that you sent your Son intentionally to take upon himself the sins of the world. All the hurt and hate and harm of all the world across the ages, of our lives from birth to death, of the church, and of those who don't even name the name of Jesus. Lord, you took all that sin upon yourself and took its consequence for us. We thank you that you have walked to the end of earthly life as we do, and that thereby you sap its power. We give thanks that the full effect of your death and resurrection soon to be celebrated, that the full effect is yet to be realized in our lives and in this world. And already we have tastes, and it just wants us want more, makes us want more of what you're doing. We yield ourselves to you. We pray that our lives would be a living gift of thanksgiving. And we pray in your name, crucified Savior. Amen.
Church, I would invite you to stand as we say together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We've said what we believe in the ancient creed. We've proclaimed with palm branches waving that Jesus is the King. And then we've looked to the cross and to the suffering that he endured for our sake. And we sang these beautiful words, that love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And what does it look like, and what does it mean to live as though Jesus is really King of our lives, and to give our soul, our life, our all, in response to the amazing sacrifice that has been accomplished and done on our behalf? This is the question of discipleship. It is a question of response, a response to a love poured out for you and for me. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, to follow this one who would love us this much, there will be those down front after the service who would love to talk with you. You can talk with Pastor Keith or with myself. We'd love to talk with you more about what it means to walk in the way of Jesus and to pour out our lives in this way and to follow him as our King. We'd love to talk with you more about being part of our life together here at St. Giles as we seek to do this, because we know we cannot do it alone to walk this path. We need one another, and so we'd love to talk with you about walking with us in this path. This is our invitation today. But all of us have a precious invitation here as we enter into this holiest of weeks, to walk with Jesus. We've heard it proclaimed, he is our King. We've been given glimpses of what he endured for us. Now will we walk with him into this week ahead? Will we pour out our life, our soul, our all for our Savior? This is our invitation, an invitation to discipleship. We also have an invitation to respond to God's good gifts and his goodness in our life by giving our tithes and our offerings. And in this season of the year, we particularly have the opportunity to give to the work of mission. And you see in your order of worship a description of the mission expansion offering, which we take at Easter, both Palm Sunday and again Easter Sunday. We give to the work of mission an additional offering as well, if you'd like to participate in that, as well as our regular tithes and offerings. Now is the time to do that. And so I would invite you to pray with me as we come before God and give of ourselves in this way. Let us pray. Jesus, what can we offer that you have not already offered us? What can we do that you have not already done for us? Lord Jesus Christ, in your gifts to us, you have provided us the way to live and the way to serve you. In both your triumph and your suffering, you deserve our praise. Through the gifts we now offer, we express our longing to serve and our desire to follow wherever we go, to follow you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
People of God, won't you join your hearts with me
in prayer? Loving God, faithful one, we come to you as ransomed and free people who belong to you. In life and in death, we belong to you. Now and forever, we belong to you. And so, by the power of your Spirit, we, your people, pray to you as you have called us to pray. And we pray for your church throughout the world, for its unity in witness and service, for its leaders and ministers and members of congregations, for the covenant partners of our presbytery, and for ECO, for all the Christians in this community, for those about to be baptized, and for all those who are mocked and persecuted for their faith. We pray, O God, that you will confirm the church in faith and increase it in love and strengthen her witness. Help your people to be faithful. Lord, we pray for all nations and all peoples of the earth and for those in authority among them. For Barack Obama, the President of the United States, and the Congress and Supreme Court, for the members and representatives of the United Nations, and for all who serve the common good, we pray, God, that by your help they may seek justice and truth and seek to live in peace, that the world may know your peace and live in freedom. Almighty God, we pray that you would turn hearts and lives towards you, that people around the world would live in peace and freedom and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that justice and peace would increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we pray for all those who suffer in body or mind or spirit, for the hungry and the homeless, the destitute and the oppressed, for those who suffer persecution, doubt, and despair, for the sorrowful and bereaved, for the prisoners and captives, for those who are in mortal danger. We pray for those in our own community who are in need of your loving touch and your healing power, for Barrett Walters, Betty Featherston, Ken Stagg, Reed Halstead, and others who are known to us. Lord, we pray for the family of Mike Goodrich and the Hill family as they grieve his loss. Lord, would you bring comfort and peace to them, healing to those in need of your healing presence and power, and help them to know how very near you are. Lord, help us, your body, to surround them with your love and with your care. Thank you, God, that you are the one who comforts those who sorrow and who strengthens those in need. Lord, we pray today for those who have not yet received the gospel of Christ, for those who have not heard the word of salvation, for those who have wandered from their faith, for those whose sin has made them indifferent to Christ, and for all who actively oppose Christ by word or deed, for all who are enemies of the cross of Christ and persecutors of his disciples, and for all who in the name of Christ have persecuted others. Lord, we ask that you would open hearts to truth and lead to faith and obedience, that you would shine your light and show your way and show your path. Jesus, thank you that around the world you are appearing in visions and dreams. Thank you for those who minister in your name and preach the gospel. Lord, we pray that all would hear, and that those who do not yet know you would come to know you. And we lift before you now those known to us who do not yet know you, those you've called us to pray for. God, we pray once again, would you draw them near? Thank you that you are the hound of heaven, that you pursue and you persist. And thank you that you pursued us. Thank you that you reached out to us while we were still far away from you. You reached out to us while we were still far away from you. Christ died for us. You redeemed us. You ransomed us. You set us free, and we belong to you. In life and in death, we belong to you. By the power of your Spirit, we belong to you. And we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Got a question for you. How many of you have had dinner with the President of the United States? Ah, there's one in the back who has. How about the Queen of England? Anybody here been invited over to Queen Elizabeth's place? Now, isn't that interesting that the people most exalted in our awareness in this world don't have the capacity or the willingness often to interact with people like you and me? We don't get those invitations. But the King, the one who rode into Jerusalem, the King of Glory, the one who was enthroned upon the cross and then rose from the dead, that King is not satisfied with us staying at a distance and speaking his name. He wants us up close, and he invites us over to eat at his table. And he has the capacity and the eagerness to welcome us all to his table and to be as close to us as our own breath as we meet him here. And he would invite you this day, if you're someone who trusts in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this is your place. He wants to bring his grace afresh into your hearts. The Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this remembering me."
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again." This morning you're invited to come forward by the center aisle, take a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup, and then return by the side aisle. There'll be gluten-free elements here in the center for those who would require them. And if you need, elements can be brought to you. Friends, these are the gifts of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would the servers come forward?
And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love. Around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. Around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again, and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
We have been to dinner with the King of Kings. That's amazing. Thanks be to God.
Of God the Spirit, keep our hope.
They call it Holy Week, a week when the holiness of our Lord is brought ever more deeply into our lives through His grace. We'll gather again on Thursday night to celebrate with the Lord's Supper, and on Good Friday to remember His crucifixion, and then again next Sunday to celebrate the victory that He gives to us. He has gifts for you this week. Be ready. And be ready to be used. He wants you to be those sent out, living in His love and His grace, that others might be drawn to Him. As always, following worship, there'll be those here in front who would pray with you about any needs that may be on your hearts. And go knowing that you bear the life of Jesus Himself. Live in that confidence. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.